So it's nice to be in my own neighborhood on a Sabbath morning. However, even though my title says director, what I consider my job to be is to empower and serve the most important people in our conference, and those are the children's ministries volunteers in each of our local campuses. So I'm more of the delivery boy slash janitor slash servant, because real ministry happens in the churches. Nobody needs more conference office. What we need are human relationships where the people are. And so I'm excited to get to visit churches on a regular basis to see where ministry is really happening. Of course, children's ministry is also happening in our schools. And so I am blessed to have 5 children. After having 4 boys, some things were missing in my life. So when we had our 5th child, a little girl, I became aware that there was a movie that I had never seen before, Frozen. Didn't know what it was. A movie about popsicles, a movie about igloos, I don't know. So many, many years after it came out, we got a DVD and watched Frozen for the first time. And I became aware of these characters, Elsa and Anna. And that famous song from the movie that Anna sings to her sister, "Do you want to build a snowman?" And trying to bond with her sister who's shutting her out of her life. And, of course, you know, I grew up for a couple of years, brief years in my life, we lived in Michigan where we had snow. And I made many snowmen. And it was always, you know, like exciting to wake up in the morning to see if there was snow and school would be canceled and we could stay home and build a snowman. My parents, on the other hand, every morning waking up, "Please, Lord, don't let there be snow. Let them go to school." So I remember making snowmen. And then in Michigan, the weather can change rather suddenly. And the next day you look out and there's just a little lump of ice on the front lawn where the snowman used to be, but he's gone. Except for the carrot that's still lying on the grass. So the sermon today, taking a little bit of liberty with the prophetess Anna from the Christmas story, I'd like to talk about what Anna did not want to do. Children's ministries, of course, we in our church, we have adventurer programs, pathfinder programs, children's Sabbath school, Adventist education, and of course in every church, all of those ministries look different. But the one goal in every single one of those ministries is to lead children to know a loving Savior and to want to live a life dedicated to God in His service, with the idea that wouldn't it be great if we could finish raising our kids in heaven and not here. We run vacation Bible school programs with the idea of serving kids even from the larger community and offering them something that they can come and visit and then get to know us and we can build relationships. So that's what I get to do. I travel around trying to encourage ministry leaders to step up, to volunteer, tell a story, create something, make something, teach a class, participate in some way to serve the children of our church. And that, honestly, even though I miss teaching very, very much, this is a pretty fulfilling and exciting job to get to travel around and talk to some of the most enthusiastic and energetic people in our church. I did teach every single grade from 1 through 12. I was a Spanish teacher in high school. I was a registrar. And then for the last 16 years, I had been the assistant to the superintendent for Adventist education at the conference office, which is why we ended up moving from Pleasant Hill to Roseville when they moved the office, because I loved my job so much I didn't want to give it up. And so only after all of that, when I was kind of praying, you know, God, after 16 years, I'm kind of looking for a new challenge. And then this position in Children and Family Ministries came up. And I took a leap of faith that this would be the right thing, that God was leading me into this. Also kind of mourning the loss of being in the Adventist education world, because we have a lot of good friends and we build a tight community. And it's an exciting work to be in. But over those years of teaching, especially when I was teaching at the high school level, you know what a lot of Adventist academies are known for? choir trips. Any of you ever sung in an Adventist Academy choir? Quite a few hands. Did your choirs ever travel and go sing places? Did your choir ever go sing at Disneyland? Isn't it something, you go to Disneyland your whole life and you see what they want you to see. But when you go and sing there or the band plays there, they take you to places that you didn't see before. The ugly underbelly of Disney, as we could say. You go in the back door. You walk in a warehouse. You walk in funny tunnels underneath the ground. And then you pop up and walk through a little doorway, and suddenly you're in Tomorrowland or you're in Adventureland. And then when you're done, you don't get to walk right through the middle of the park. You have to disappear from whence you came. And it's a different side of Disney. It's the backside. I had not been to Disneyland since I taught in school, and that's almost 20 years ago. And we had the bright idea, since all my older boys were going to be gone for Thanksgiving, we had no family in the area, we could go to Disneyland. We could take our kids to Disneyland for Thanksgiving. What could go wrong? So there we were with 100,000 of our new best friends. And a lot has changed in Disneyland in 20 years. Has anybody been recently? I had not been. I think the last time I was there, I still had a flip phone. I don't know that everybody even had smartphones yet. And texting was on the number keys of your phone. That's how the technology was in Disneyland when I was there last. And so I was not prepared for what hit me. My kids loved it. And they had never been before, so everything was brand new to them. But the crowds, I remember a day, I want to say that when we took our kids on choir tour, and it was kind of off-season usually, that if you went at the right time in the morning, there were a lot of rides you could just walk right on. Or maybe 10 or 15 minutes, sometimes 30 minutes for a ride to wait. I was unprepared for 120 minutes on the sign. I was unprepared for the number of strollers. There were more strollers than people, I am convinced. I was unprepared for the cost. I have a vivid memory on the 35th anniversary of Disneyland that we paid $35 for our ticket. I was unprepared for $135 per person, per day. I do remember the Christmas decorations, though. I do remember Disney loves to celebrate Christmas. They had it decked out. It was Christmas in every inch. And we spent a couple of days at the California Adventure Park across the walk. And they had this beautiful Christmas show where they shoot water out. You know that big pond there in front of the roller coaster and the Ferris wheel? They shoot water out like it's the Bellagio Hotel in Las Vegas. And then colorful lights and LED and lasers and beaming images of Disney all over the mist, using the mist of the water as the slide screen. And my wife made us watch that twice. People were crowding for hours to find a spot to watch that, which I was also unprepared for, that you now have to reserve a spot with your cell phone if you want to stand anywhere near where you can actually have a young child see what's going on. There were beautiful fountains and images of Disney movies and Disney stories and all kinds of Christmas music. And it ended with this beautiful hymn sung by Celine Dion, "Let There Be Peace on Earth and Let It Begin With Me." What I was unprepared for was what would happen immediately following that beautiful hymn at the end of a beautiful slideshow celebrating the Christmas season. It kind of went like this. Just as she was singing that very last line and let it begin with, you didn't even get the word me out, strollers were running over my young children. People were shoving me out of the way. Let peace begin with me, because they were ready to head for the exits. So it's kind of like Christmas at Disney was a little bit empty. It was a lot empty. It was a little bit like a snowman The minute Celine was done singing, the hymn was over. There was no Christmas spirit left. There was Christmas, but there was no Christ. There was a lot of celebrating the celebrating, but not celebrating the baby Jesus. There was no celebrating the Redeemer. There was no talk about what do we do if we actually welcome the Christ child into our lives and into our hearts? How do we live that? It was just empty. It was a facade. As much of Disney is a facade, as I know from the choir trip scene, the backside of every building, which didn't really exist. Contrast this with the story of the prophetess Anna from Luke chapter 2. You guys read the New King James Version. I'm going to briefly read the same scripture, Luke chapter 2, 36 through 38, from the Message Version, which is almost identical. But there's a few things that I think are a little bit clearer for young children to understand. Anna, the prophetess, was also there, a daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher. She was now a very old woman. She had been married 7 years and a widow for 84. She never left the temple area, worshiping day and night with her fastings and prayers. At the very time Simeon was praying, she showed up, broke into an anthem of praise to God, and talked about the child, to all who were waiting expectantly for the freeing of Jerusalem. Anna was looking at the bigger picture. She was working daily in the temple with Simeon. She was extremely dedicated. She didn't even leave the temple, much like the woodpecker. She did not leave, all right? She was regularly fasting and praying. Luke 2 clearly shows Simeon understood the prophecies about the Messiah, that not everyone would accept him, that not everyone would embrace what he was here to do, that he would actually break Mary's heart. I would like to think, even though the scripture doesn't say it, I would like to think that if Anna and Simeon were working together, that they might have had conversations about this, and that Anna was every bit as aware of the Christ child as Simeon was. What we do know is that Anna understood that the baby Jesus would bring about radical change and immediately started praising God and telling others. She did not just want a snowman that would melt away when the weather warms up. She wanted something lasting. I'm not sure that she fully understood that the change was going to be bigger than just Jerusalem, but that's what the scripture says, that she immediately started telling everyone there. I would like to think also that there were other people in the temple when Joseph and Mary brought baby Jesus there. It probably was not a private appointment. It was not times of COVID. So there might have been a lot of other people there, and I think of Anna so excited to get to hold the baby Jesus in her arms. And then she could not contain herself and started calling other people, come, come over, I want to tell you something. In Luke 11:13, this is from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the scripture says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Christmas time is usually heavily centered on gift giving, is it not? Have any of you driven through Roseville lately, anywhere near the Galleria? It's already awful. We want to give good gifts to our children. Nobody wants to purposefully plan a bad gift. I wanted my Disney trip to be a nice gift for my children. There in California Adventure, there is a ride dedicated to the movie Cars. Any Cars fans here? I love the movie Cars. I think that is one of the sweetest movies I've ever seen. There is a ride where Luigi, the Italian tire changer, he has these little mid-1900s vintage Italian convertible cars all dancing around, well, not really dancing, rolling around on, there's no track. This is all done by robot and computer. It's incredible. But it's a children's ride. It's not an adult ride. But I sat in the car with my daughter, who squealed with delight from the minute the ride started to the minute it was done. And I took a video of her. I'm still a little carsick from sitting looking sideways at my daughter, but the look on her face was just precious as I experienced that ride through her eyes. At the very end, the cars all stop, and they all move in in tandem. It's amazing how they were able to get that to happen. I still don't know how they got that to happen, but the cars don't crash into each other. It's not a demolition derby. But at the very end, they all stop, and then they start spinning really fast all together. And that was when my daughter let out the loudest scream, because she just loved it. That was the part where I relived my younger childhood in the teacups and started getting even sicker. Disney is definitely better when you visit with a young child and see it through their eyes. In fact, I would like to say that Christmas is even better when you're with children who are excited about it. Because for me, I'm purging. I don't have that many years left on this life, on this planet before I don't want my children burdened with all the junk that I'm going to leave behind. So I'm doing like my parents did, and I'm purging my stuff. But the kids are, I mean, even a little tiny box this big wrapped in paper is a big deal because it's so exciting to get a gift and unwrap it. My vision for children's ministries in the Seventh-day Adventist Church is that we as adults would all experience children's ministries through the eyes of our children. It is much more fun. Have any of you tried to do VBS for adults? It's not fun. Let's face it, adults are really not all that fun, are they, Mrs. Harrington? They're not that fun. The kids are fun. The kids are exciting. They bring energy. They bring joy. You look at their faces, the silliest song, a spinning car, you know, those little silly Disney rides all of a sudden are fun again when you see how excited a child is. I would like that we would all experience God's love, the gift of salvation, the promise of Jesus coming again soon through the eyes of children. It takes on a new energy for me when I get to see how excited the kids are. So I'm already developing Vacation Bible School stuff for next summer, and I'm excited just imagining how the kids are going to receive the content. And so I'm purchasing, before my budget year ends, as many things as I possibly can to gather materials for Vacation Bible School already. And I'm looking forward to, at the beginning of February, the first Sabbath in February, doing a Vacation Bible School workshop and showing adults how we might experience Jesus once again. This is going to be the Adventist curriculum this year is the story of Ruth. How can we live the story of Ruth from the Bible through children's eyes and fall in love with that story all over again? Even Adventist education, Vacation Bible School, Sabbath school, none of that can happen without the dedicated volunteers who give of their energy, their time, and many times their money to make these ministries work, to bless our children. Disney is using Christmas to strengthen the bonds of all of their visitors with Disney. I realized as I was watching that beautiful light show on the water that what they were trying to get me to do is fall in love all over again with Disney. Why? So they could make more money off of me coming back to Disneyland again, buying more videos that just got released from the Disney vault. That's a dumb system, let me just say. Locking up videos to create a need and then re-releasing them so we'll get excited and buy them again. I don't like it, but it works because they're making money off of it. And they wanted me to fall in love with Disney all over again and remember my childhood and how those tender moments all helped me to fall in love with Disney again. But not the bond with the Jesus of Christmas. So, like I say, Christmas was a little bit like a snowman. It melts. And if the best that you can do after all of these heart-tugging hymns and singing, I mean, even Celine Dion said, "If God is our Father, brothers all are we." And then I got run over by my brothers. They knocked me over to get out. They were not letting peace begin with them. It was hollow. There was nothing left. It was a melted snowman. There is a battle waging between God and Satan for our hearts and our treasure. I want my kids to store up treasure in heaven. So obviously, I need to work on their bond with Jesus, not Disney. Matthew 6:21, also from the Sermon on the Mount, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I saw people walking around Disneyland with matching shirts. You know, the families all get their matching Disney trip shirts. We did not do that. I saw one that said, Nana's most expensive birthday ever. And I can believe it. I can believe it. People were dropping crazy amounts of money on their Disney experience. And yet, at the church level, we find it hard to even get a volunteer to tell a children's story sometimes, let alone spend $150 on their ticket plus a Genie Plus pass and $50 a meal and $35 ears, who will then come back to church and say, I don't have any money left for offering. That's sad. Through everything that we do in children's ministries, the focus should always be on strengthening the children's bond with Jesus. We don't want that bond to be seasonal like a snowman, but for adults, we know how easily the bond can melt away without being purposeful about a relationship with God. Is that right? Everything in Disney is a facade. The fronts of the buildings look real, the back is fake, right? We don't want our religion to be a facade. We don't want that excitement of, yay, I accept Jesus as my Savior, but then the next day there's nothing left. We need it to be lasting. We need it to bring significant change. We need to recognize it like Anna recognized it when she held the baby Jesus, and she knew this was going to be different. Many years ago, I went to Disneyland without my children. I went with some other adult friends, and I think it was a sign. We were on this ride. Let's just say that it was very dark. There was a boat. The Caribbean was involved. And as the boat is going up the hill near the end of the ride, it stopped. It stopped for a very, very long time. Eventually, an announcer came over the microphone and said, the ride has broken, and the water stopped. And they turned on the lights, and we had to get out and walk up the stairs. You know, it looks like a waterfall going down, but no, it's actually stairs. That's the emergency exit. And the facade was broken. It didn't look like a magical place anymore. It looked like a tunnel with a broken boat and stairs, and we walked our way out. It was good, though, to see and be reminded that Disneyland, it is a facade. It's a facade of happiness. It's a facade of, if you buy these ears, your life will be better. If you buy these tickets, everything will go smoothly for you. But in the end, you go home, and you go back to your life, and it's a little bit empty. But children's ministries is a gift that can keep on giving, because our children keep coming, and they keep growing, and then new children come. The opportunity to introduce them to Jesus, to get them excited about what God's love is all about, that never ends. It is not a facade. 2 Peter 3:10-13, again from the New King James Version, says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? Because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Anna spent her entire life dedicated to the coming of the Messiah. She prepared herself to be ready to recognize the Messiah when he arrived. Unlike Anna, we are preparing and waiting for the Savior to come the second time to bring an end to this sinful world once and for all. Anna started telling everyone about the Messiah the moment she realized he was there. Our job is to make sure that we make that announcement before he comes. What an honor to get to work with the children of our church and our community to show them how loving and how amazing is the Savior who will soon return. The Northern California Conference has adopted a statement clarifying why we exist. It says to connect people to an abundant life in Jesus Christ and prepare them for his second coming. I would like to help make this the reason why we exist in every single aspect of children's ministries. We don't want to just make snowmen. We want to truly equip our children to live an absolutely abundant life in Jesus Christ. And just like the prophetess Anna, we want them to prepare for his second coming. And we want them to be excited that they want to tell others as well. In the book Desire of Ages, on page 56, Ellen White writes, "Men acknowledge Christ in history while they turn away from the living Christ. Christ in his word calling to self-sacrifice, in the poor and suffering who plead for relief, in the righteous cause that involves poverty and toil and reproach, is no more readily received today than it was 1,800 years ago." And that last line struck me, that she wrote that when it was 1,800 years ago. Now it's more than 2,000 years ago, and here we all still are. So what do? Well, we look for opportunities to make a difference. We look for opportunities. We don't wait for opportunity to come to us. We go out looking. So one of the things that I want to do is I want to teach our children empathy. I want them to actually feel like they want to make this world a better place, alleviate suffering, and help the poor, and spread the gospel to those who don't know it. One of the ways that I do that, I have purchased thousands of books. They're little children's books, and they're the story of Norma Nashid, who runs a ministry called Restore a Child. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of Restore a Child. One of the things that she promotes with the General Conference every year is a World Orphans Day to raise awareness that we still have millions of orphaned children every single day that need help. And so this children's book is how Norma went from living a semi-orphaned life herself in Palestine to growing up to living in the United States and running a program that runs schools and orphanages for children all over the world. Some of her schools and orphanages are in Africa, and a number of them are in Ukraine. And so she's providing a significant work right now for the people of Ukraine, for all the children whose parents have been killed in the war. And so I have 31 or 30 of these books that I would love to give away to anybody who has a young child that would like to read this book. It's really cute. The first half of it is artwork with her story. And then the second half of it is actually photographs of her real work and pictures of the people that are actually in the work right now. I also have a copy of Norma's adult biography, which is the adult version of this book. However, I realized this morning that I have several thousand copies in Spanish and none in English, so I'm still waiting for the English versions to arrive. But this book is available at the Adventist Book Center for sale, and I am working on trying to get English copies that I can bring to churches when I visit. And for these books, Norma has asked that if I give them away, that I request that at some point later when Sabbath is over, people make a donation to Restore a Child of $10 or more for the book. So she's not selling the books, but she's asking that you might make a donation. Unfortunately, I don't have those books for adults, and these are free. So you're in luck. It's Christmas. So if you have a child, a grandchild, or if your child is here today, I'd love to leave you with a free copy of the book today, just so that you know this is a way that we can teach children something that they can do to alleviate suffering and help orphans and widows. It's still going on. It's something that we can do now to fulfill the gospel commission. So I have an invitation to ministry for each and every one of you. I would like you to give the gift of ministry in 2023. I would like to invite you to tell a story to children or teach a Sabbath school class or volunteer to play the piano in Sabbath school sometime, somewhere. Perhaps even commit to going once a month to helping a Sabbath school teacher avoid burnout. Maybe you could involve yourself in Adventurers or Pathfinders if there's not a club here in the one where you know where people are. Vacation Bible School. You could buy things, make things, help provide things, and help involve yourself in a vacation Bible school. But I invite you to partner in ministry with your pastor, with all the teachers at the school. There are so many ways for you to share your gifts with the children of our church, the children of this community. And when you experience that through the eyes of the children, it's going to be better than Disneyland, I promise. Because that is lasting. That is teaching something that is eternal. Because when Jesus comes to take us to heaven again, it's not just for a season. It's not just until the snow melts. That is forever. And we want our children to be there. We want them first in line. That's when I want to get elbowed out of the way by the children pushing me out of the way to get to Jesus first when he comes. That is when peace can begin with them. So I look forward to that day. I look forward to partnering with all of you in ministry in some way. And as I leave, I just want to say that my dream for Sabbath School is that every church in the Northern California Conference would disband adult Sabbath School. Because every adult will be volunteering in children's Sabbath School, and there will be no adults to attend. Okay, you can have one for the visitors. One. All right? But I'd love to see all of you involved in children's ministry in some way for the blessing and the bond, the strengthening of the bond with Jesus that our children will make with him. And happy, happy Sabbath.